last night, he laid there for hours with his eyes wide open, just laying there. What do you do? First of all, I'm in a panic because why are you laying there like this? What do you have to think about that hard? I don't know. Baby sleep, toddler sleep, kid sleep. I don't understand. I don't even understand my sleep, if I'm being honest.
Welcome to Seriously Selfish. I'm your host, Amanda Taligan.
Welcome back to Seriously Selfish. Today I'm going to be doing a Q&A that I ran on Instagram. And I feel like I run Q&As on Instagram often, but this one I specifically wanted to save for this. And these questions are good. I think Q&As are a representation of the way that people see your content, because the questions that I got asked are all such a wide range of things and actually really funny. The first one that made me laugh. Also, sometimes when people ask me questions, I don't understand slang and I have to Google it. So this one said FMK pancakes, waffles, French toast. And I'm like, FMK? Am I missing something? Is this like some sort of French breakfast? No, fuck, marry, kill, because I'm an idiot. So I'm going to answer that one. Fuck, marry, kill, pancakes, waffles, French toast. This is really complicated for me because I'm not someone who likes to make those kind of decisions. You know, I'm really indecisive, but I think that I would fuck French toast, marry pancakes, and kill waffles, unfortunately. Dimitri, what would you do?
I don't know who that is.
No, no. Fuck, marry, and kill. Pancakes, waffles, French toast. Which one would you fuck? Which one would you marry? Which one would you kill?
Wow.
You didn't know either. Are we just old?
I would fuck the French toast, marry the pancake, kill the waffle. Yeah.
So you would pick the same exact answer as me, basically. That's so crazy, but so on brand. Oh.
Sorry.
Also, apologies for my voice. I'm not sick because I don't get sick, but I have been a little bit not myself. And I'm also sitting here in my self tanner. So if my neck looks a little patchy, I'm not nervous. I'm just trying to multitask. Yeah, I'm marinating and I'm talking to you. How does one actually get your child back to sleep in the middle of the night? I don't know. I mean, I whenever I'm asked questions about sleep, I'm always like, I have no idea. First of all, I have one kid who, you know, sometimes things work, sometimes they don't. I just think it's a luck of the draw. Like, there's some nights he goes back to sleep and there's some nights he doesn't. Last night, he laid there for hours with his eyes wide open, just laying there. What do you do? First of all, I'm in a panic because why are you laying there like this? What do you have to think about that hard? I don't know. Clearly, he was like being very thoughtful and going through something, but am I supposed to barge in there and be like, why are you laying here with your eyes wide open? Like, baby sleep, toddler sleep, kid sleep. I don't understand. I don't even understand my sleep, if I'm being honest, but I am of the mindset that a bottle does wondrous things, and I will always offer a bottle of milk. I'm sorry. I took cold medicine yesterday and I feel a little drunk. But at this age, so he's going to be 23 months. At this age, I also am down for a chat and a bottle of milk. And I do feel like it's very helpful. I go in and I'm like, hey, are you okay? What's going on? Are you hungry? Did you miss me? Do you feel lonely? Like, I ask him all of these questions and we actually have these full-blown conversations. And I think around like 18 months when he wasn't sleeping, I was still in that baby mindset of just kind of like, be very quiet, go in there, like soothe him, you know. And now I'm kind of like, hey man, like, what's up, you know, do you need something? And he is much more communicative now, so I feel like having those conversations is helpful. But yeah, a bottle of milk goes a long way, and sometimes it's a pat. And I also tell him, you know, it's nighttime and we're all sleeping. Mommy's sleeping, daddy's sleeping, we're all going to bed. Are you okay to go to bed too? Because, you know, just like letting him know, like trying to reason with him. Maybe that's insane, but I do feel like kind of being overly communicative with him does help. But I don't know, every kid is different. And that may just be jazz, but yes, I don't really have an answer, unfortunately. But there are experts and I'm not one of them. If the closest daycare was 15 miles away, would you drive Jazz there every day? This is my only option. Ugh, first of all, I'm really sorry because I feel like those kind of decisions are so tough. I think I probably would do it, especially if it was one that like aligned with me and I felt like he would be very happy at, I would definitely consider doing it. 15 miles, I guess, would equate to probably being, it depends on the traffic or whatever, but that's like 30 minutes of your day, I suppose, one way. So an hour each day, I think that would still equal to me worth it. But we've talked to here, you know, Dimitri and I about if we move and how much we like where he's going now and if we would keep going there if we moved farther away. And I think that when you find somewhere that works and you will still get time to yourself, it's just like not always the most convenient situation. Like the one he goes to now is so close by, but that was just luck. So I think like what's the most important thing to consider, yes, of course, the amount of time you're going to get and to be able to get done what you need to do with your work. But also if it's the only one that aligns, like that peace of mind will probably be on the long term so much better and outweigh the ride and the time that you spend doing the commute. I think that's probably how I would reason it. Ugh, daycare is so tough though. Like making those decisions is so complicated. Are there any hobbies that you're getting back into now that Jazz is a little bit older? Yes. Actually, I love this question because I used to be extremely spiritually connected. Like I was really on a spiritual journey before I became a mom and I was very committed to my practices of just like grounding. I've never been a meditator, but I journaled so much. I was always very focused on kind of like listening to my body and you know, like being connected to something outside of myself. And I feel like when I was pregnant, I did that, even though I was finding it very hard to stay connected to my body because I didn't feel like I was in charge. But then when I had Jazz and I had postpartum depression, I felt so disconnected from all my spirituality, specifically because I was just so down and out. And recently, I've felt like I've had a little bit more time and I don't feel like I'm always just surviving, that I feel more connected to get back into the things that are good for me and my mind. And I really wish, because it's so funny, like usually when you're focused on your spiritual journey and, you know, meditating and doing all these things, you're probably like in a good place. And when you need it the most is when you're not. And for me, it's so easy for me to let go of those things when shit is going crazy. So I'm trying to get into a reasonable and like a doable routine when it comes to taking care of like my mental health and the books that I'm reading and the things that I'm listening to. Like I can't do it to the extent that I used to, but I can see the difference in my life of like how I feel balanced. Something that I used to work on a lot was like pausing before I reacted to things, which obviously would serve me so well in this chapter. And I think like just being a little bit more grounded and connecting to things on my spiritual journey have been very helpful. And I also started doing a lot more Pinterest boards, which is so soothing, instead of scrolling at night, because the doom scrolling is something that I picked up staying up all night long with a baby, and it's something that I really want to get rid of, but it's such an addicting habit. So yeah, back on my Pinterest grind also. I don't really have that many hobbies. Do I have hobbies?
Collecting water bottles.
That's not a hobby.
It's a hobby.
No, like, do I have...
Collage.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, I used to collage so much before I had Jazz. And then I collaged a little bit, like, after. When I would be, like, up in the middle of the night and stuff, I would always have my collage stuff out. But I haven't really been into it since we moved. All my collage stuff is in the basement. I want to get more crafty. I really do. I love crafts. I'm not very good at them, but I really like doing them. So that's one of my goals for fall, is to, like, come up with some crafts for myself when the weather starts to get colder again. Just... What is that? Is that a bug? How do you get over the pressure of having kids close together / feeling triggered when people do? First of all, I really despise that this happens. It happens to me too. And I think that it just kind of like taps into that thing of like, I should be. But I try really hard to like focus on my life. Like whenever I see someone, and I do not align with this, and I experience it and I don't align with this. When I see somebody announce that they're pregnant or something, I want my first initial reaction to be like, I'm so happy for them, because it doesn't have to be about me. You know, someone else's joy, someone else's success is not a reflection of lack in my life. That's their journey. That's their timeline. So that's one way that I try and think about it. The other way is that like, I know what's good for me. I know exactly what timeline I'm on. I, as a person, can tell you for a fact, 2 under 2 was not the life for me. It was not. There's nothing in my mind or my body that has any question of if it was. I think there is sometimes in my head this like slight thing of like, I'm getting older and I kind of want to be done with having kids at a certain age. So that does play into it. But I also know that like I really needed to experience my child going from 1 to 2 just focused on him. Did not want to be pregnant with a 15-month-old. I did not want to be pregnant with a 16, 17-month-old. Like I knew that. And Dimitri and I had many conversations about that before where it was like, I see so many positives of having your kids really close together, but anything in me that felt like I should do that was not authentic to my actual life. And so I try really hard to like separate what feels like a peer pressure that I've put on myself and what's my authentic life. I don't know how to tell you like not to feel triggered by it. All I can say is just like own it. Own your journey. Own what's good for you and realize that there is no right or wrong way to go about growing your family. It's just what works for you, because the worst thing I think that we can do is push to have our kids in timelines that we know are not authentic to us. I also think what plays into that is we see so much. This has to do with social media. We see people having kids all the time. Like we have all of this information pushed to us. Your favorite creator's having another baby, or this person is buying a house, or this person's doing that. It's like you always feel like you're comparing yourself to all of these people who you don't actually know. And I think that that also infiltrates into our mind. And so I try to get really balanced with my actual life and what's going on with me, like my house, where I live, my dynamic, my financial situation, the village that I have, and like what is an appropriate timeline for me. You know what I mean? I think that also if that's something that you want, then also changing things in your life to be able to have what you desire. And if 2 under 2 is what you want, then building your life situation to be applicable for you to be able to do that is important. But if it's a peer pressure thing and like feeling like you're just not doing what everybody else is doing, fuck that. I don't align with that. Never have, never will, because it never affects the other people in your life. Well, just do you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I always try to like think about the future as well. Like when my kids are grown up, no one's going to be like, did you have 2 under 2? I feel like these conversations that we have right now as new moms and like fresh parents are just, it's a lot of focus on a lot of things that are kind of not, it's not really the point. You know what I mean? The point isn't necessarily how close together you have your kids. The point is that you're growing your family, and letting that look how it looks for you is going to create for you to be able to show up best for that in your life. And that's all my ultimate goal is to be able to show up as my best self for everyone in my life and know what I can handle. I saw someone say that recently, they didn't say I'm one and done. They said I'm one and complete. And so many people have so many questions for this girl. She's, I forget her name, but she's a creator. And she answers all of these like one and complete questions. And some of the comments, I'm like, you would rather see someone have more kids when they are telling you this is what I can handle, and that triggers you and makes you so upset. But like, I find that so beautiful. I find people who say that they don't want kids to be so empowering. I'm like, we all deserve to do what we know we can handle and be the best at in our life. And like, that's not going to look the same for everybody else. And so I think you give yourself that same grace and respect when it comes to figuring out what your timeline looks like for you, and realizing that doesn't have to look like anybody else's to be excellent, you know? When do you do your cute day days? Do you skip nap, or do you do it before or after? So we only had our first one so far, but my goal is that at some point he can get a nap. I don't know what that's going to look like. The last one that we did, we left right when he was going to have his nap. He slept all the way there, and the ride home was absolutely hell on wheels. It was crazy. He was screaming the entire time, and I had to play with him while I was driving. I know that sounds dangerous, but it wasn't. You know, when you're like, windows up, windows down, playing the song, singing along, little, little. When I don't like having to drive like that, and then we got stuck in traffic. So I think it's just kind of like par for the course. Anywhere we go, any trip we take that's an hour, I know that one way is going to be easy breezy, the other way is probably going to be terrible. So I think it's just like, if we want to have these experiences, I've gotta just adapt to rolling with the punches. In my perfect world, he will nap on the way to wherever we're going, because then he'll be at his best self. And then probably the ride home, I just like give him as many snacks and toys and whatever I can to try and keep him occupied. We're kind of playing it by ear. This week, our trip is going to be with my mom. So we're all driving together. I know it's going to be easy breezy because someone can sit in the back with him and entertain him and play with him. But when I'm on my own, I pretty much just try and like plan the day as best I can and always make sure I have enough food and I am mentally at peace, because then I won't be as triggered when I'm in the car with him screaming. Is this like unique? I don't think it is, but like being in the car with a screaming child is actually like my number one most triggering experience of life. Like number one. It's the thing that I lose all of my capability to be my calmest self, because it just feels like you're trapped in this metal box with someone screaming, and it takes everything in me to stay calm. But it's like a necessary thing when you want to have experiences with them. So I'm navigating it, you know, I'm navigating it. I plan the best I can, hope for the best, and also just take it as it comes, I suppose. This is a very interesting age for this, because he doesn't understand anything either. You know, I can't be like, just a few more minutes, we're gonna, you know, I do say all those things, just 30 minutes, we're going here, it's gonna be so fun when we get out, you're so brave, you're so patient. But at the same time, he's like, I want to get out now. Duna Trike honest review. I love the Duna Trike. I really enjoyed it, specifically when we first got it, which was when he turned one. He very much enjoyed it, and I very much enjoyed it too. I thought it was a great alternative to the stroller. At this exact point in time, I'm finding it to be a little bit of a touch and go experience, because he's not at the age where you would put the pedals into the wheel yet. So he's wheeling, but he also doesn't want to just have his feet be stationary. So he takes his feet out. I think that price compared to how many ways you can transition it, I think you can do like 3 or 4 different things with it. That's great. Storage, amazing. It breaks down super easily considering how many pieces that it has. And it comes with a backpack, so it's been easy to take on the go. I will update once we move the pedals into the wheels, because I think that's going to be a very different experience. But yeah, I mean, all in all, I think it was a great purchase and a great alternative to a stroller. And we only have our travel stroller, and then we have the Duna bike. So between those two, they've served me very well. And if you have a kid who loves to go on walks, I think it's a good alternative to have, because it's more interactive for them. On the go naps, how to make adjustments. He will never sleep in a stroller. If something is going on, if he is in the world, he is not falling asleep. Like, he will sit there with his eyes wide open. There is nothing, no way, no how. One time in his entire life, I got him to fall asleep on the beach. And this was when he was one. And I really, really put my back into it. But that was the only time that he's ever fallen asleep, like in public. So I try, whenever we're on the go, to make sure that a car time will line up with a time where I think he will be tired for the day. And then I like, we're at the point where if he at least sleeps for 20 to 30 minutes, then he will be good to go for the rest of the day. So like, that's cool about Jazz, that he doesn't need a lot of sleep. I'm not saying he's like not cranky, but he can like ride the wave. So I try to at least have between 11 and 2 a time where we will be in the car for 20 to 30 minutes, so that he can just have like a little bit of a nap. Other than that, potential spam. Wow. One of my scammers. Other than that, that's pretty much all I've got. And with summer here, I'm having to really lean into my cool mom vibes and be very open to what's going to happen, because I have big plans for us this summer. We've been on the move. Every single week we're on the move. And so that means that he is not always getting as much sleep as maybe he would need for that day, but he is enjoying what we're doing so much more. So I'm just trying to be open. Like, sometimes he's taking 2 naps right now, short naps, but 2 naps, and going to bed later. So I'm just kind of like trying not to put him in situations where he's going to fail, but also staying open to not being such a stickler for the schedule as I am, because that's really something that I have an issue with letting go of. But yeah, you know, I have a toddler now, and I have to be cool, and I have to let it all like rock and roll and set him up for success. Toddler tantrums / aggression advice. All I can tell you is that Dr. Becky is like my favorite person on planet Earth. Like, whenever I listen to her podcast daily. I am obsessed with the way that she views things when it comes to toddlers, and also just a group of TikTok moms that I follow who have great parenting advice. But the way I go about it when we're having tantrums is pretty much the same. Like, first I regulate myself, because if I'm high, then he's gonna go higher. So I just try and like breathe, calm myself down. And then two things. One, I try and give him a decision so that he can feel like he is in control of his life. Would you like to X or Y? And see if he can pick one of those, because maybe he's just feeling a little out of control and something's not his decision. And the other one is I let him have the tantrum. I don't care where I am. I do not feel embarrassed when he's screaming in public. Like, that's one thing that I don't feel, because I think that he has to learn. And like, I also understand that he has no other way to get his emotions out. So I let him have the tantrum wherever we are. And I try and be a support to him while he's having it. So you've got this, you're brave. I'm here if you need me. I can see that you're having big feelings right now, blah, 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 blah. And just be that supportive, calm person for him. Like, sometimes I'll give him like little massage. Also, Sarah taught me doing like ice cubes on the back of the neck really does help. And that's something that we've implemented. So like ice on his wrists or on the back of his neck to just kind of like calm him down while talking him through it. Yeah, just being supportive to him. And I find that me supporting him and kind of giving him that physical touch and just letting him know that I'm there helps him to get through it. Sometimes it's 20 minutes, sometimes it's 45 minutes when he's really upset about something. But for the most part, then he just comes back. And I think that I don't view it as him being like he's doing it on purpose or he's being aggressive towards me or anything like that. I just view it as he gets filled with a lot of these emotions and he does not know exactly how to get it out of his body any other way. And sometimes he can't verbalize what's frustrating him. And so all I can do is just support him and be there for him. But taking care of myself and me staying calm is probably the best thing that I do in these situations, because if I'm not calm, then it's just all hell breaks loose and then he doesn't feel supported by me. So my number one piece of advice always is like, you take care of you first so then you can be the best to them, which is my whole MO when it comes to motherhood. Actually, we are not taking care of ourselves, feeling our best, then we can't be the best for them. So I think always you first, then them. Calm yourself, take care of them, be there for them and support them, just like we would want. You know, when I'm freaking out or like having a really hard day, all I want is someone to be there for me and let me know that they're there for me. And I think it really works, and reminding myself that he's not doing it on purpose, you know, even though sometimes it does feel like it's on purpose. Also, for the aggression thing, I really love the all feelings are valid, but all behaviors are not, you know, biting, hitting, all that kind of stuff. The best thing that works for me when he's hitting me or like biting me is I look at him and I say, ouch, that hurt, you know, and like I let him know like that hurt me. Recently, actually, he's been hitting at school.
Yeah, only once.
He only hit one time at school. No, she said that she noticed different behaviors. I got a call recently from daycare saying that she noticed that he was exhibiting a new behavior where he was hitting at school. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting, because I haven't really seen him hit like when we have play dates or anything. I've seen him definitely like want a toy or whatever and push or and stuff like that, but I've never seen him hit. And so when Dimitri talked to his teacher, she said that she thinks that it's because he's been hit by people who wanted things. So he was kind of like learning this behavior from them. And I'm like, interesting, you know, like this is part of it, age appropriate, they bite, they hit, it's those kind of things, and we have to talk them through it, soft hands, gentle hands, quiet hands, all the things. But what I found so interesting is that after he had hit, he did say that he was sorry. And we don't really do that here. Like, I never look at him like, say you're sorry, you bit me, say you're sorry. I just always kind of tell him how his aggressive behavior has affected me, and whenever I do something that I feel like is negatively affecting him, I always say, I'm sorry. I apologize to him, or I say, mommy was upset, or mommy was feeling impatient or whatever. And I own my actions, and then I apologize to him. And so hearing that he hit someone and then visibly they were upset and then he apologized really showed me and rang true to me that the way that we exhibit behaviors is exactly how then they do the same, you know, and our words are so much less powerful than the actions that we show them. So I try and handle when he's aggressive in that way. Thoughts on having a second, how you handle tough moments and how you find your mama voice. My thoughts on having a second are that I feel more ready than I ever have. Like, I actually feel ready. Like, I would, if I found out I was pregnant tomorrow, I'd be so happy. And I feel like I really got to the place that I genuinely wanted to get before I would think about having another baby. And I also love that I have told myself that even if that's something that I come to the conclusion I don't want, that's all good. Like, I've been very open with it. I have not rushed myself, and I am really happy that I let myself experience these last 2 years without that thing of like my next. I wanted to get to a place. My focus was Jazz. My focus was me. My focus was my relationship, my life, and reintegrating myself into the world as this new person. And I really gave myself the freedom to do that. And I'm so happy that I did. Now I can honestly say, like, yeah, I think it's great. I think it would be amazing. That's it, though. Just saying. Because I get this question all the time. Do you want a second? Do you want a second? Do you want a second? I do not want a third. Watch me have twins. But yeah, I think like all this whole year, like adapting to this new way of living and all that kind of stuff, I'm like, those are my thoughts. Now I have my thoughts. Before this, I didn't know. But it's been like the last 4 months where I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. Like, that sounds good. I thought that's something I wanted, but I wasn't sure. And I think that if I can advise anyone, give yourself the freedom, like, to find yourself again and feel so rooted in who you are in your new chapter before you take on more, okay? And that comes with the other part of this question, which is like finding your inner voice, like finding your mama voice. And like to be able to find that, I truly believe you have to give yourself time. How do you argue with Dimitri since you have a kid? Oh my God. You know what's so crazy? Like, since having Jazz, it's like so, it's something I didn't know was gonna happen when I had a kid, is like how hard it would be to have a beginning to end conversation with your partner. Oh my God. Like, you know how sometimes when you like let an argument linger, or like something that's kind of like in between you and your partner, you let it linger for a few days, how it kind of gets more and more intense than it really should be. I feel like that's something that happened since we became parents, is that we couldn't just sit down and hash something out from start to finish without any interruptions, that sometimes things like linger a lot longer. And we've made promises that we never would yell in front of Jazz or anything like that. And we would try and like, well, we are respectful when we have conversations. When we have disagreements, we really have these conversations. We don't insult each other, even before kids. Like, we've never insulted each other. We're very respectful, very much like trying to let each other have their point of view. But we're both loud, very enthusiastic people. So sometimes it can be like a lot of cutting each other off and not the most productive way of communicating. But I feel like we've had to become much better. Are you laughing? You're laughing because I cut you off.
I have so much to say about
this. Say, come on, jump in. Come over here. Oh my gosh, Dimitri had to jump in because he needed.
I need to. I do not cut off. Amanda, cut off.
I do. I cut people off.
I listen.
It's actually so true.
I listen.
He does.
Because Amanda talks.
It's true.
Yeah, that's.
And I've half worked. I have worked so much. How our communication has changed is, I have worked so much on not interrupting him because Dimitri can be extremely long-winded.
But she just did, just right now. If you pay attention, she just cut me off.
I did.
Okay, cool.
No, but you know what I do sometimes when we're talking? This is something I learned in therapy and I have totally implemented in our relationship. When Dimitri is talking and he pauses, because that's part of the way he talks, I don't know if it's because he's French or whatever, I go like this. When he pauses, I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I count to 7. And usually by 7, if he hasn't said anything, he doesn't have anything else to say, or usually then you start talking again.
Because French people think Americans need more time to digest the information we just gave
that's
them.
That's not true. No, but in all seriousness, the way that we argue and the way we communicate is like, we have had to learn to look at each other and be like, I don't think that we can talk about this right now. Let's table this for when he goes to bed, or we have a minute to ourselves. And so I think we've had to just learn what is the most important thing, learn to prioritize our conversations, also know what's actually worth getting upset about and what's not. No?
Yeah, I agree. I think we're just on a mend of that. Mm-hmm. It's been a long process of understanding how to argue, really. Like, you know,
productively.
Productively, but also when, how, and understanding that we're on the same team. it's taken some time for that, because we all felt so lonely in the challenges that we faced, you know. So
yeah, 3, 4, 5
yeah.
But yeah, I just feel like since becoming parents, we've had to become a lot more thoughtful with the way that we use our time together and the way that we communicate with each other, because there's not as much time to just, I don't know, do what we used to do, which is have these long conversations about everything all the time. So we've needed to be able to advocate for ourselves, clearly respect each other, and also know that we have these like catch up sometimes, like unknowingly, but once a week pretty much, or twice a week, Dimitri and I will catch up and be like, what's your roles for the week? What's my roles for the week? Like, what does this week look like? Are you capable of this? And we have our roles and things that we're responsible for, but what has really helped us is that we're honest with each other of like, well, I can't take on these things. Can you pick up these things? What things do we have to just like not do this week? And trying to recalibrate every week, because our jobs are kind of on the go and not always on a strict schedule, we're just very honest and open about what we can do within our own roles, and also picking up each other's slack and like having each other's back and knowing that we both have the same goal in mind, but we also sometimes get frustrated in our roles and sometimes we need breaks or whatever, and being very honest about that. It's stopped us having disagreements as much when we are honest about our feelings and our roles. And I think that also not having any type of like bringing things up that we're upset about in front of Jazz has also been very, very helpful. That's not to say we don't like have conversations in front of him about things that may be on our mind or going on, but we wait until we can sit down, just the two of us, and have a really good conversation about whatever is happening. And that's what's really changed, is that we've learned like we can't just talk about whatever we want whenever we want, because it's not productive. You know the way I describe motherhood in two words: everything more. Higher emotions, bigger love, bigger feelings, bigger sadness, bigger excitement, like all of that more. And I think with all of that comes communicating with your partner changes, and the way that you have disagreements and arguments and things that maybe trigger you or give you anxiety within your relationship will alter. And so you just have to relearn that communication. And that 2-year mark, man, it like really hits for me. It's been 2 years of relearning communication in my relationship, learning what I need in my relationship as parents, and you know, 2 years of my growth, 2 years of Dimitri's growth, like watching us grow as people. So yeah, I think it's just been like a learning process, and I'm very happy with where we are. But that's my number one piece of advice, is whatever you can table until you can sit down and have an uninterrupted conversation, I think will help so much, because it's a lot of like on the go stuff. And for us, sometimes that's phone calls, you know, it's not always in person. Sometimes we have to talk on the phone to be able to have that uninterrupted time. So giving yourself that takes away a lot of anxiety, or at least in my experience, it does. Favorite parenting style? I think like gentle parenting. I would consider myself to be a gentle parent, but there's so much misinformation about gentle parenting. So I've spent a lot of time like trying to read and understand it. I don't feel qualified enough to speak on it, but I am trying very much to work on how I'm communicating with Jazz right now. A lot of it leans gentle parent, and also being able to validate his emotions and who he is, I think also leans very gentle. Yeah, I don't know enough to speak on it, but whenever I have a question and I look it up, or I'm reading different things about parenting styles, whatever I align with is gentle parenting. So I would consider that to be my parenting style, if I have to pick one. Oh yeah, this is the last one I'll answer. Thoughts on potty training? Here's what I think about potty training. I'm not doing anything until he tells me he's ready. And I've seen so many schools of thought, you do what you want to do, okay? All I know is right now, he's very potty curious. He goes into the bathroom, he flushes the toilet, he takes the toilet paper, he does all the things. He's trying to go to the bathroom on his little potty. He tells me when he's gone to the bathroom. I think these are great signs that we're gonna get there one day, but I am not interested in forcing this. It's the way I've felt about everything. So I don't know if this is a parenting style, but for me, it's like I listen to him. I felt the same way about the bottle, same way about the pacifiers. I'm just like following his vibe and waiting till we can communicate for me to implement these kind of things. So my thoughts are, it's not happening now, and I don't know when it will. But if you choose to do it now, I love that for you. You know, it's just not really. No. Are you potty training? No. No one in this room is potty training right now. We're riding the wave. Anyway, that's it. Those are all the cues I got, and I hope you like the A's. But my voice is done. This week has kicked my ass. That's all I'll say. Between the whatever's going on with me and Jazz's sleep is very bizarre right now. And so my staying selfish of the day is I'm going to stop talking now before my voice is completely gone. But if you ever have any more questions, feel free to leave them in the comments or DM me on Instagram. And as always, I appreciate every single one of you, and I hope you remember to stay selfish. Bye.